This is Kate Turkington on Travels with Kate, only on 101.9 High FM.
And now for something completely different. I wonder if you've been to Israel, if you've visited Israel in the past, if you're planning to go. I've been lucky enough to go a few times, once, wow, as a guest of Israel tourism. I remember the most telling moment for me was going to Masada. This was in the days when there was no lift. You had to trudge up that hill. But when you got to the top, my word, was one of those places in the world that has such an atmosphere. It's very hard to describe. It's a palpable kind of atmosphere, like the launching pad, or they call it the hitching place of the gods in Peru, in Machu Picchu. These very special, holy, in a way, places. But we're going to talk now to Dan Kusner. He's a young man who has literally just come back from his first visit to Israel. So I want to find out from him exactly what his impressions are. But first of all, Dan, tell us a bit about you. Who are you?
Thanks for having me on, Kate. I've done a lot of things in my life. I'm only 25 years old, or 25 years young, depending on how you look at it. And sure, yeah, someone actually looked at my CV, was like the end of last year, and they were like, how old are you? That's not possible that you've done all of these different things. But anyways, I'll shorten it just for the purposes of our conversation. I was a chef, or I still am a chef, until sort of a handful of months ago. I was freelancing, doing kosher tours and kosher catering for all sorts of people from around the world. I was going on safaris to like Kruger Park and all sorts of places, which I really, really loved. And as of a couple of months ago, I actually work now for High FM right here.
Okay. Now, your visit to Israel, how did it come about, Dan?
So I was privileged and blessed to go to Israel on a program called Taglit Birthright, which is the most incredible program.
What does it mean, that?
Good question. I don't know what the word Taglit actually means. I can do a
I'm
quick.
I'm sure. Give us a call. WhatsApp 061-895-1019. That's our WhatsApp number, 061-895-1019. And if there's any questions or you'd like to chat to me or Dan, that's the number for you. Okay, Dan, so this program you went off.
So, as I say, I'm not 100% sure, but maybe someone will write in and tell us what Taglit actually means. But the program is called Birthright, and the idea is that every Jewish person, every Jewish child, so to speak, has a birthright to go and visit their homeland of Israel. And that's what this organization does. They put together these tours for all sorts of people, not just children, not just young kids, not even for sort of people my age. They have tours for just about anyone and everyone you can think of to go to Israel and to enjoy and to experience our homeland. And the only requirement really for this program is that you are Jewish or you identify as Jewish. They've got certain criteria that you need to fulfill. And yeah, after that, after you apply and you get accepted, they handle everything. They take care of your flights. Yeah. They give you a tour guide when you arrive. You get your own tour bus that everybody goes on. You travel all over. We went to,
And Dan, with you, were people from all over the world or just from South Africa?
So Birthright themselves run tours from all over the world. Right now, I know there's a lot of French tours going on, but each group is from that country in particular. So our group was only South Africans.
Okay. Now, impressions.
I knew you were going to ask that.
So, well, one has to.
Of course. So the answer I can give you is like this. at the end of the, let me start from the end and I'll come back to the beginning.
Okay.
At the end of the program, we had a session with our tour guide, with our madrachim, our group leaders, talking about, it was right at the end, just before we went to the airport to come home, and everyone was talking about their highlights, what their highlight of their tour was, what their favorite moment was, and our tour guide, Barak, who, just by the way, shout out to Barak and anyone who was on the tour with me, Barak. Oh, Barak was the most amazing tour guide ever. Such a knowledgeable person. But anyway, side note, we can come back to him at a later stage. He asked us, what was your aha moment? And my aha moment for me, that moment where it clicked and I was like, I know, like, this is the place, was actually right as I got off the airplane. We arrived very late into the evening. It was about 11:30. And you come out of the airplane into Ben Gurion Airport, and the way Ben Gurion's constructed is it goes like, it's like a big circle, and you can see down into sort of the main terminal area. And from that moment, I was like, just blown away. I was like, this is home. This is the place to be.
Oh, we're coming back to Dan and his impressions. First trip to Israel after the break.
This is Kate Turkington on Travels with Kate, only on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. And I'm talking to Dan Kuzner. He's young, 25 years old, young Jewish man who went to Israel for the very first time. He's just back. And we're listening to his impressions. And he was telling us there just before the break, when in fact, when he got to Ben-Gurion Airport, he just felt this is home. But other impressions, other places, Dan?
So... sure. I mean, we went to so many places and we got to see so many different things and meet so many different people. You mentioned Masada earlier on. That was... It's so hard to describe in words unless you've actually been there and seen it. You know, I feel like it's cliche to say, oh, it was the most amazing experience of my life, you know, standing on top of Masada watching the sunrise. But the truth is, it really was, as cliche as it might sound.
Maybe not everybody knows Masada. It's where a handful of Jews held out against the might of the Roman Empire. And in fact, if my memory serves me right, rather than be taken prisoner by the Romans, they committed suicide on that spot. And as Dan says, I mean, I'm a wordsmith. I find it very hard. But there's a palpable holiness about that place, whether you're Jewish or non-Jewish, doesn't actually matter. So what about the Dead Sea? Did you float in the Dead Sea, Dan?
Of course. We went to the Dead Sea actually right after Masada, and it was so cool. We all got the Dead Sea mud, and we were all there like lathering each other with it, and we got some really funny photos of everyone covered in the mud. And then, you know, going into the water. And can I just tell you, we went there. We were there beginning of July. It was hot, Kate.
Was it?
You don't understand heat like this, I don't think. The day we went to Masada actually was the hottest day on record this summer that they've had in Israel. I believe it was 46 degrees by midday. Getting into the water at the Dead Sea was like stepping into a hot bath that has just been run.
Did you lie on your back? I remember the first time I went, I went with my husband, who's not much of a swimmer. I wasn't much of a swimmer. And he got on his back. And of course, because of all the salt, you float and it's almost impossible to turn yourself off. And he was floating off to Jordan. And we had to go and rescue him like a beetle on his back and bring him back to Israel.
Yeah, it's like the most bizarre feeling. It's undescribable. You've really got to, like, you know, everyone tells you, yeah, you float. But you don't understand it defies physics when you're sitting there in the water. You're not actually sitting, you're floating. It's bizarre, but it's such a fun experience.
Yeah. Where else did you go? Other highlights for you?
So we did after, so initially we were in Tel Aviv, which is amazing. I don't think Tel Aviv ever goes to sleep. I think it's awake 24/7.
And it is a party town in spite of everything. And young people in the streets.
I mean, what an incredible atmosphere. And then, of course, we did Masada and Dead Sea. Then, of course, it wouldn't be a trip to Israel without going to Jerusalem, which was, you can even hear it in my voice, just the fact that we were in Jerusalem over Shabbat, over the Jewish Sabbath, was incredible. I was a bit nervous that we wouldn't be there. I thought maybe we would be somewhere else, because sometimes it doesn't work out that the tour gets to be there for mm-hmm. Shabbat. But we worked out that we were there. And it was, to say unreal is an understatement. We, on Saturday night, we did Havdalah, which is the ceremony when we say goodbye to the Sabbath, and we light a candle and we sing, and we did it literally in the street outside of the hotel. And we had this incredible guy with us, good friend now of mine, who's this incredible, incredible singer. He sang for us. We had this candle going in the middle of the street in Jerusalem, bizarre and just so incredible. Like, people walking past and taking videos of us as we're singing and doing this. It's just, I mean, the smile on my face, I'm sure Kate can see you can't see, but Kate can see the smile on my face. It's just, it was unbelievable.
And now you're very young, but you're married, you had your young wife with you too. What were her highlights, do you think? What were her impressions?
So my wife, actually, Zahava is her name. She's been to Israel once before.
Had she?
But she wasn't there for very long, and she didn't have the greatest experience when she was there. That's a story for another day. So coming on this program, especially coming with me, was almost like a second chance for her to experience Israel and to have a better view, to see it in a different way than when she was there the first time, which, as I say, didn't go as well as she had initially hoped it would. And she came away from it saying to me, "Daniel, if we're not on a plane going back there soon, it's not an option," basically. I think she enjoyed a lot of the same things I did. My wife is a massive foodie, which, lucky her, because I'm a pretty decent chef.
So tell us about some of the food, Dan.
Oh, the food.
Was it all kosher or?
So I keep kosher.
Yeah.
So I only ate kosher food, but I would say 90% of places there are kosher. There's definitely places that aren't, but I would say majority are. And even the ones that aren't, I spoke to a lot of different people who, they actually are kosher, but they're not, but they are. But the food was just unbelievable. We went to this place at the Dead Sea that only served hummus.
Oh, my favorite. Just stop there. We're going to take a break. We're all thinking, we're drooling about hummus. We're coming back in just a moment.
This is Kate Turkington on Travels with Kate, only on 101.9 High FM.
And we left you there talking about hummus at the Dead Sea. But, I mean, kosher food. I mean, I'm not Jewish. I'm omnivorous, actually. I eat anything. But tell us about the kosher food you met in Israel. It's for everybody. You don't have to be Jewish to eat kosher food.
No, not at all. So maybe just a quick, just a quick breakdown of what kosher is for our non-Jewish listeners and for anyone who might not know. Kosher, the word kosher in Hebrew means acceptable, or appropriate. And when we say something is kosher, we mean that it's good. It's appropriate for us. So kosher food is food that's appropriate for us according to the law of the Torah. And the Torah basically lays down a bunch of different rules and laws about kosher food, the way food needs to be prepared in order to make it appropriate for a Jewish person to eat. And the being a kosher chef, and I'm actually also a kosher supervisor, I could tell you about kosher for hours on hours.
But generally speaking, the food you had in Israel, whether it's kosher or non-kosher, it's kind of a Middle Eastern
very
diet,
much.
Isn't it?
Definitely Middle Eastern in a lot of places.
Things like what? Hummus,
yeah, things like the hummus, yeah. That's especially, of course, Middle Eastern. Mm. The origins of hummus actually are very fuzzy, but anyways.
Who cares?
Israelis also have a large culture for Western food.
Yes.
They really like pizza. There's a lot of pizza spots. Coffee, even though I didn't have very good coffee, but Israelis love dark, strong coffee. And in terms of like the Middle Eastern food that we ate, a lot of food from the shuk, from the market in Jerusalem, in Tel Aviv. I mean, you walk through that place, it attacks all of your senses. The smells as you're walking through there, the fresh fruit and vegetables, chalva, which is a...
That's my favorite.
Oh, I love it. There's a funny story about chalva I can tell you. But yeah, you walk past these shops where they're selling kilos upon kilos of chalva, fish. There was this fresh fish place in the one market we went to that was selling like entire fish, but enormous, and all different varieties of fish that they'd fished from the dead, not the Dead Sea, nothing lives there, from the Mediterranean Sea, literally that morning.
And expensive. How expensive is Israel for, well, everywhere in the world is expensive for South Africans at the moment.
Yeah. So don't quote me on my statistics, but our tour guide told us that Tel Aviv is something like, it's somewhere in the top 10 most expensive places in the world to live.
Really?
Yeah. A good friend of mine lives there that we got to meet up with while we were there. He lives in Tel Aviv. Maybe I shouldn't tell you on air what he pays for his rent. And he has
a lot.
And he has three roommates. And they're on like the fourth floor of this apartment building.
Yeah.
It's very, very expensive.
Yeah. But so now, what about wine? We know South Africans love their wine. Is wine available in Israel?
So I actually didn't drink much wine or anything while we were there, but they do have a very large wine culture, and I have had wines in the past from Israel that are just superb.
Okay. Oh, thanks so much, Dan. That's Dan Kussner, real first impressions of Israel. And of course, will you go back?
Of course, undoubtedly.
I think we'd all go back. Anybody who's ever visited 100%. Would want to go back. Well, thanks so much for listening. Thanks to Craig Guthrie, who is our technical genius who makes everything happen. And thanks to all of you. And travel safely, take care of yourselves, and take care of others too.